This morning's scripture reading is from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 and 22 through 31. Does not wisdom call and understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all who live." The Lord created me at the beginning of their work, the first creative acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When God had not yet made earth and fields or the world's first bits of soil. When God established the heavens, I was there. When God drew a circle on the face of the deep, when God made firm the skies above, when God established the fountains of the deep, when God assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress the divine command, when God marked out the foundations of the earth, and then I was beside God, like a master worker, and I was daily God's delight, playing before God always, playing in the holy inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. God's word for God's people. God is still speaking.
I am a word nerd. I love words. I love language. I love spoken words, sung words, printed words. I could not possibly thank my dear late mother, English teacher, librarian, and after-school taskmaster extraordinaire, enough for gifting me with my love of words. When I was in elementary school, sitting at the dining room table that doubled as my desk, studiously learning to write and already wanting to use big words I did not yet know how to spell, I would call out to my mom, "Mom, how do I spell cantankerous or imperceptible or lackadaisical or whatever word I wanted to use at that time?" My mom's reply was always the same. "You have a dictionary. Look it up." And she never, ever gave in. I learned to love the dictionary so much that one of my favorite study break activities in college was reading the dictionary. Just for fun. Now I spend inordinate amounts of time on dictionary.com, and it's a rare week, especially in the winter, when Beth and I don't relax with a game of Scrabble every other night. My love of words and language also help me when I read and study the Bible. A single word and a single verse can often open entirely new paths of inquiry or exploration or devotion or wonder for me. Words like wisdom from our scripture reading in the book of Proverbs today. Wait, what? Wisdom? Raising her voice? Taking her stand? Beside God, like a master worker, daily God's delight, playing before God always, playing in the holy inhabited world, and delighting in the human race? Where was this wisdom when I was being taught about God and creation in Sunday school? Seems like the God at work in creating the world and all those who live in it may have been more of a small group activity than a solo act. And speaking of creation, how about that part in one of the two creation stories in the book of Genesis? For yes, there are two, and they are different in some rather wondrous ways. There's that part in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 that reads, "Then God said, let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness." Hello, God. Is that you? And is that you, singular or plural? Well, you saw my name tag on the cover of your bulletin today, didn't you? Hello, my name is God. They, them. Who is this God? This creator God who makes us in their image, according to their likeness. Moses wanted to know precisely that in the early chapters of the book of Exodus, especially when the spectacle of an incessantly burning bush turned into a sacred conversation between God and prophet that led Moses to ask, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." Or, as the Hebrew can also be translated, "I will be what I will be." I will be what I will be. In this month of June, when so many pride celebrations are taking place across our nation, some with a little less support than they've had in some more recent years, and others that have folded in to demonstrations of other kinds as well, I think it's worth remembering that our God is not a he or a she, but is a they or a them. But have you noticed that we haven't gotten past the first two books of the Bible yet? Don't worry, I don't plan to pluck an example from each of the 66 books that made it into our present canon. But I will ask us to fast forward to the book of Acts and the story we heard last Sunday when the Holy Spirit arrived on the day of Pentecost in the form of tongues as of fire, appearing among them, and a tongue rested on each one of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Words again. Language, words, words, Spirit calling to Spirit, holy wisdom delighting in humanity again, this time with a multiplicity of languages. Now it is not simply a bush that is burning, but it's a group of people. And this Spirit, the Advocate, the one Jesus promised to ask God to send to be with us forever, to abide with us and be in us, according to the Gospel of John, is the Spirit of truth. And this Spirit, this Holy Spirit, along with the Creator and Christ, to whom we sing our praises each week in both our Gloria and the Doxology, are three in one and one in three, who constitute, inhabit, animate, and enliven our Christian Trinitarian understanding of the mystery of the Holy One, of the divine, of the God that carries the name, "I will be what I will be." Now, for those of you who aren't church geeks like RG and me, today is Trinity Sunday. And Trinity, it's always the Sunday after Pentecost in the Western church tradition. And Trinity is one of those churchy words I also like to spend time with, exploring, inquiring, wondering. For me, our Christian tradition, though many pieces of it I really do want to throw right out the window and leave out the window, I find myself intrigued by the many layers that actually live underneath them, especially when we spend time dwelling in them and wondering how the tradition was formed and how it was reformed and how it can be reformed yet again. But unlike other festivals or special days in the church or liturgical year, Trinity Sunday centers on a doctrine of the church rather than an event. Doctrine simply means a body or system of teachings relating to a particular subject. And today celebrates the great mystery of God's being as Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. It is a day we mark for special adoration and praise of our one eternal, incomprehensible God, who will always be who they will always be. And even though all the elements of a Trinitarian understanding of God are somewhere in our scriptures, there is no mention of a Trinity in the Hebrew scriptures or Old Testament, and similarly, there's no mention of a Trinity in the New Testament. It took a good 300 years after the birth of Jesus before the stories and testimonies and writings and controversies among those on the way of Jesus formed a doctrine or system of teachings on the particular subject of God in three persons. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Meyer Bolton, in a reflection from the SALT Project on the doctrine of the Trinity, suggests that, quote, "Rather than an esoteric picture of a God up there, the doctrine of the Trinity's quite practical upshot is to cast a vision of God down here and everywhere, creating, redeeming, and sustaining creation at every turn, with every unfurling leaf and blossom. In a word, the doctrine of the Trinity is ultimately about a world saturated with divine presence and a God in whom we live and move and have our being. To believe in or even consider the possibility of a God who will be who they will be, who transitions within their own being, who creates us in their own image, who saturates each of us and the whole world with their being, who longs for oneness that is not sameness but is wholeness, who is still creating, who is still redeeming, who is still sustaining, who is still revealing, who is still speaking. To believe in or even consider the possibility of a God like this is, I believe and hope, and pray and sing on this Trinity Sunday and every day, to love and be loved by a God that is wholly Christian, wholly non-binary, and always and only love. Amen and amen.